What's up, family? It's Key, aka your favorite gay auntie, with another episode of Gay After 30, where we discuss all things gay and grown. I'm super excited about today's episode and today's guest. And just so you know, this is episode 4. So if you haven't heard the first 3 episodes, I think you should probably go back and listen to those. I want to thank you for joining us again today. And again, I'm excited about the show because I get to do the show with my sis, and I've been begging her to come on this show for a while. So I'm really excited to actually have her on today. And I'm super excited about the topic also. So the topic today, we're going to discuss why there seems to be a lack of heterosexual and queer close friendships amongst Black women. And also, we're going to discuss Black women and our constant labor and lack of award. I was going to say in lack of reward of leaderships, but we're leaders regardless, so it doesn't really even matter whether they give us a title or not, but our lack of being awarded titles. Your introduction, Tracy, I think is pretty marvelous myself. So Tracy is my close friend, my sister, the baddest and finest employee attorney that I know and that you know too. A future Pulitzer Prize writer.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm going to speak that on you, sis. I'm going to speak that on you.
And receive.
and most importantly, my good sis, Tracy. How you be today?
I'm good, you know, blessed and highly favored. But happy to be here and happy to be a guest on this awesome podcast. I mean, I remember when you were talking about this idea, so to see it being brought to light is like amazing, you know. Yeah, that's why your name is Major Key Alert, you know, because you know you got the keys. You know, just unlocking all types of futures. So,
well, thank you, sis. As you can see, that she is my number one hype person, constantly hyping me up. So if y'all are think that I'm a bit full of myself, you can partially blame Tracy, because Tracy hypes me up, okay?
I think that.
So, you heard what I said I wanted to talk about today, and I'm really interested in having this discussion with you, being that, like, I think we represent something that I'm saying that is kind of lacking, since you are one of my closest friends. Right. So I'll ask you the question first, because, you know, maybe you have a different view of it than I do. Do you think that there aren't a lot of heterosexual, homosexual close friendships between Black women? Like, I know that there are friend groups, but like close friendships.
I don't think that I've seen many up close. Definitely not growing up. Definitely not on TV. Like, I remember my mom and I were watching Living Single the other day, and I was like, if this show was written in this era, Khadijah definitely wouldn't have been straight, and that definitely would have been okay, and that definitely, like, just would have been, like, more reflective of, like, what my actual friend groups look like. And but, you know, we know the reasons why, and we know that all of that plays a role in reality, not just on television. So, yeah, I don't feel like I have seen many of those relationships, like friendships, up close. And I'm just happy to talk about maybe why that may be.
That it's so real, but I'm not sure Khadijah even back then was straight, you know what I'm saying? I know that they gave her, she had straight love interest, but I don't know how well Queen Latifah was pulling off straight. That's just me. I don't know how well she was pulling that off.
And y'all could have just went all the way. We would have been fine.
We would have been okay. I think they would have been okay.
Y'all could have kicked the 90s off, right?
But, you know, I was thinking about it, because I was thinking about my own friend group, right? And I was thinking to myself, like, how many straight women do I have around me that's in my close, like, friend group? And I'm not one of those people who are like, you know, I don't hang around many women. No, I love being around women, and I love having sisters, like, in my circle. And so I was just thinking, though, like, how many non-queer straight women do I have? And I only came up with you, who's like in my inner circle. And I was like, why is that? And I think that, you know, there is a thing of, if I'm being honest, and I love Black women, and I love women generally, but if I'm being honest, I felt the most isolated and unwelcomed from Black women.
No one should be allowing people to infiltrate and invade their inner circle and innermost spaces and bring unhealthy, problematic energy with them. And I can say that, like, I have been in spaces where I'm just like, wow, people are really on a journey of understanding.
That's real.
When it comes to things, and it's always when I am in groups that are predominantly straight, like, mm-hmm. when we talk about things, whether you just hear, like, the heteronormativity of it all, and, you know, there's some very, like, problematic undertones there, and, you know, I do feel like, and it always makes me cautious, like, oh, okay, yeah, this is a group of only straight women, and this conversation is a bit troubling. And even when I'm in those spaces, and I'm just quick to, you know, state my piece and, you know, point out things, but I don't even like being in circles like that. So I would understand why people who would feel under direct threat and discomfort and just feelings of being unwelcome would not want to be in spaces like that, like, for free, like, you know, not for work, not for some type of requirement, but, you know, choosing to spend your time with people like that. So I think that that's a part of it. I think, you know, I would assume a part of it is protecting your peace. And if a certain demographic of people, you know, are, you know, bring with them an environment and a dynamic that's not welcoming, I wouldn't want to be a part of that either.
But I'm not even saying, like, I think it's a part is, like, protecting your peace, right? But I think also a part is, like, not even being asked, right? So I don't even have an option to protect my peace or not, because you're not even asked to engage and be in certain circles. And mm-hmm. I'm just trying to see, like, what that tension is, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, like, tension from both ways,
right?
Like, from both parts, like, why is it that there is kind of like a tension or a divide, and that we're not, because I would think if anyone should like be together, we should be together, but I don't know. I was trying to think whether it was because, let's say, like, for Black feminists, right? So, like, for Black feminists and people who identify as, like, womanists, like, there is already in our culture, in our society, in our community, this deeming of masculinity to women who are feminists or not taking on the stereotypical traditional, like, thoughts of, like, what place, like, a woman is supposed to be in. And right. So, like, sometimes I wonder, is it like a shunning, because, like, there's already a level of prescribed masculinity that society has given to them, and so, like, I think people are drawing the line at least, like, I'm not gay, I don't want to be identified as gay, because, like, people can, like, if I support too hard, then people are going to assume, or if I'm too feminist, right, and then I have all these, like, people already say that, like, the queer movement, like, the feminist movement is just a bunch of queer women, you know, already, which is not true.
Right.
So I wonder if it's just kind of like a shunning of, like, I don't want people to look at me a certain way.
I think that may be true. I know I definitely have had people question my sexual orientation because I am such a staunch defender of just treating everybody equally and respecting people no matter who they are, no matter who they love, and, you know, just even a person who like identifies as being Christian, I don't hold, you know, the same conservative beliefs that other people who belong, some other people who belong to this faith do. So like when certain topics come up, whether it's gay marriage, whether it's, you know, gender neutral bathrooms, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, when certain topics come up and, you know, I show my support and, you know, can get pretty vehement and emotional when I hear people saying really just what I deem as awful or just hurtful things about someone's entire being and existence, that instead of saying, oh, why do you care about another human so much? It's like, oh, why do you care about this other human so much? This must be coming from a personal place. And I think it's because people just don't have the range. Like they just don't have the range to care about anything outside of themselves, mm-hmm. as if humanity stops and starts at their own one demographic. Mm-hmm. But that's the problem, right? If you can't have the ability to not just understand, try to understand and have empathy, but really just care on a ground level about someone else or things that don't directly impact you, like that is just like flawed in a whole nother problem. So I feel like I've definitely had people like, oh, like, why does this matter to you so much? And I'm just like, I mean, because if we live in a world together and we all are supposed to belong to each other and care about each other, then the care ethics that we all should be subscribing to means that we should all care about everyone and being able to be free in this world. Everyone. So I do feel like that fear of trying, you know, association as if that's something bad to be associated. I don't even like want to use that. Like, but yeah, like this fear of like association, mm-hmm. Can silence people and shun them from just speaking out about what's right. But I mean, I just clearly never cared. Like, you know.
As an aside, because a question popped up in my head as you were speaking with regard to like you identifying as Christian and also being like a staunch ally, like how has that been for you, right? Because like I still identify as Christian, but I think that I've at this point in my life kind of like operate differently than you. Like I'm quick to be like, I'm not arguing with nobody, like I don't like, I don't got it today. I'm not arguing with you about this, about my whole identity. Like, I'm not going to do that. And also, you have no hell to send me to, so I don't really care. But, like, my good sis is always, you know, like, actually being an ally and actually out here, like, fighting some of these battles, like, on our behalf. Or just as another human, you know, who wants decency for everyone. So, like, how is that, though?
I feel like it is a hard place to be in because, you know, as a woman of faith, you want to be able to be in other faith communities and be able to fellowship and things like that. But you want to do that in a healthy environment. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever want to be in a space where things that I don't agree with are being said, because that just makes me feel like I'm complicit in this, and I don't want that on me. I don't want that energy. And so I think that that's difficult. I also think that it's just been a journey because Tracy from 2009 mm-hmm. definitely would be canceled. This definitely would be canceled because I still was struggling with some indoctrination.
Yeah.
But thankfully, you know, went away to school, made friends with people, mm-hmm. And really just was able to deepen my understanding mm-hmm. and just really challenge beliefs and think about my relationship in God and think mm-hmm. about, think about what I was taught to believe and really challenge all of that. And I think I just got to the point where I just no longer agree with what I was raised to believe. But that's hard when so much of your circle and environment is still in that space. Right. And I think the reason why I still am prepared and ready, you know, stay ready, to be such an advocate is because, like, I want to have kids one day. And when I say that I want to have kids, it's just like, oh, I want to have kids and period. Right. Like, not, oh, I want to have a boy. I want to have a girl. I want to have a, you know, a cheerleader, a basketball player. Like, I want to have a child. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And that's all. Mm-hmm. I pray for their health. Mm-hmm. I pray for their happiness. And I pray that they live a life that is harmonious and peaceful. Mm-hmm. But that's about it. I don't know who they will be. Right. She, her, they, I, them, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I know that whatever child I have, I'm going to love and I'm going to support. And so I think the reason why I still want to fight so bad is because I'm trying to make sure that I, whatever child I do have, God willing, if I'm blessed with one, will be coming into a greater world so far as who is around me and then maybe around them and then assessing who I need to not have them around. And I think, like, just even with that, like, you know, when people tell me that they want to be parents and then it's just like, why do you want to be a parent if you're not going to chip? Except whatever child comes into this right. world, because you can't dictate anything.
Right.
But I don't know. I just, yeah, you're right. There's so many people who think that they are like the gatekeepers to heaven's doors. And I just, I remember I said it too. I was like, God don't need no hall monitors. Like,
what?
You know, he can say who is coming where and when. I don't know why you were at the gates with your little hall pass saying turn around. Like, no.
It's clearly people who are trying to live their high school dreams through Jesus. And I really need people to stop it because you don't have a hell. And like when you first said that, like, I don't need no hall monitors, I like would pass out because that's really how they be out here acting. Like, stop it. But I really appreciated the fact that, like, and what you said of being transparent and honest about, like, it's a journey and that we all, and for some reason, people think that queer people cannot be homophobic and also transphobic too, right? Because we're all on a journey, especially if we are socialized in a way. It took me a while to like actually accept myself and to like feel good about myself and like not, and to kind of get rid of that internalized homophobia. And I really do think that it's a continuous process, right? Because I was raised Pentecostal, and so like that just doesn't like leave you,
right?
You know? Like it's a continuous process of like learning to love me, and also as a cisgender lesbian identified person, like that doesn't mean that I have all of the education that I need to be a better family member to like my transgender sisters, like, so like constantly learning in that portion too. So I really appreciated the fact of how you like just was being like transparent about how like you have not always been at the place that you are right now, and that it is a journey. And I wish more people were transparent about that process.
Yeah, because if you can be honest with yourself, right, and you can try to step outside of the guilt of it all, mm-hmm. you can probably do some real work and become a better person. But that means you got to accept that you were wrong, that you hurt people, that, you know, this wasn't right, make your amends and do better. But that takes vulnerability and humility. And a lot of people, aren't familiar with that and don't like being in that place.
My good sis, Preacher Tracy, always hitting me with the good word. I appreciate that. So like, do you think, like, back to the topic that I was originally on, do you think that you're judged? I know you said that you're judged by the fact that you are like a zealous like ally and advocate, but do you think that you're judged by your friendships, right? So like when we go out, if we're going out to dinner pre-COVID when we actually could go out places. Let's just take a moment. We used to be out places, y'all.
Out in these streets.
In those times where we used to go out, do you think that you were being judged?
That's a tough question to answer, mostly because I was just never checking for it. So it's hard to see energy that you ain't checking for. Because you know what I'm about. We just be laughing, joking, acting a fool. So I just be in that space. Mm-hmm. So I don't really be like looking at someone staring or, you know, looking to hear any like, you know, little comments or anything. Mm-hmm. So I haven't ever experienced any, at least I haven't with like, mm-hmm. people, but I know we've had a conversation, you and I, that like maybe you have seen it, mm-hmm. but your experience may, you know, I can understand why you may be aware and alert, because I'm just out here laughing, joking, walking down the street, you know, just carrying on as right. I carry on.
Right.
So I haven't really noticed that, but again, like I said, I don't really be checking for it, but you know, I'm sure people do just, you know, think they see two and two and it equals four, but whatever, they can't count. You can't count on me. But
you play too much. Okay, so my second question with regard to that is that, do you think, I started to think like maybe sometimes, because I do see the eyes, I don't see the eyes as much now, because I'm in a space where I just really don't give a fuck, like I really don't care, like, and so, but there is a portion of me that will never like not completely, like completely not give a fuck, because it is a safety issue,
which yeah,
is why, like, right. You have to be alert and aware of like what's going on and picking up cues around you. But like, I think, you know, because I'm a person who is fluid in gender presentation, I do sense that like when I'm femininely dressed out, or like, you know, for my birthday, because you know I get cute for my birthday and we go out and we go eat, you know, for my birthday, and I have, you know, these ladies sitting out and it's all
fun. Oh, that's nice. Fun, girl. Go ahead.
You know, I do think that when we're out there, it's just like a bunch of, you know, this just homegirls hanging out, and that vibe is nothing, and I don't get that energy from people. But when I'm dressed masculine, like dressed like this, and we're hanging out, I do think that I get that energy. And even with regard to like what I was saying earlier about with regard to hanging out with heterosexual women, I think I'm much more so welcomed when I'm, you know, you know that I'm gay, but when I'm feminine presenting, I think it is digestible. But when I am masculine presenting, I think it's more presentation sometimes than it is my sexual orientation. Like, what do you think about that?
Like if you're dressed up and like girly girl, it's like, oh, like just a girl's night out. But if like you're more masculine presenting, people may think, oh, like this is a date. Mm-hmm. Or, and because people make those assumptions and associations, that's why like female presenting straight women, mm-hmm. you are gonna be more hesitant, because they don't want to, you know, for fear of being associated one way or another. Mm-hmm. Again, I get the line of inference, the ladder of inference, I guess. But again, it's just like, I just don't understand. There's a lot of things to be pressed about. That ain't it, Chief. But I mean, I do. Yeah, I mean, I get that. But I mean, for women who actually do think like that and actually do let that thinking affect their behavior, you got to ask yourself some more questions.
That's real. I think sometimes I try to think, like, is it because I know of a lot more straight women who are friends with gay men that I know of straight women who are friends with queer women. And so, or should I say queer men and queer women. And so I'm like, is it like because partly they think that like we don't have as much in common? Is that the thing? Or like, so like, what is it that you, they're like close friendships with gay men, but not with queer women? Like,
I don't understand that, because I have close friendships with both. And I guess I never really categorized it I never really compartmentalized it too much. Because I'm just like, I'm just good. I'm friends with some good people. But again, it's just like, I guess like, oh, like you'll be friends with someone, you know, like, it, you know, one is like, what's the relationship, you know? Right. Because sometimes it's not even friends. Like, you know, this person is in your life because, like, I'm thinking about like Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, they would bring a lot of gay men on the show, but mm-hmm. that were, they were their hairdressers, their stylists, and still were saying like these really awful comments. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, okay, is this a trend? Is this what is this?
Or
is,
like, we're the help, I guess. We're the help.
So that's why I was like, it's hard for me to even call those friendships. Like, those aren't friendships. It may look like it.
That's
but
right.
But when you unpack it, you know, it's giving me very caricature, gimmick, trend, very no. And
that's real. That is real for those shows. That is a real.
But I've seen it like play out in real life too. Not that those shows aren't real life, but I've seen that play out in friendships like that I've seen up close. So I'm just like, this is not your friend.
Right.
This is not your friend.
Right. This is the person who does your makeup.
Or, you know, because like, you know how like when people will talk about their friends, like, okay, if you're talking about something your friend shared, but you're kind of making a mockery, you know, as if this is like, you know, fodder.
Right.
To be picked apart and talked about in a salacious way.
Right. That's true. All right, so we're going to go to my next question, but before we do, I have to ask, what's in your cup? What's in your cup tonight?
You know, I have a little rosé. And there's some strawberry lemonade in there because, you know, my tolerance level is not there, you know. You know, you always say I drink juice.
You do drink
juice. And hey. Okay. All right.
You do.
I accept that.
But my sis loves a good rosé. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. I'm here for it. I'm drinking. This is what I was on last night when I was talking about people and their husband wives.
I'm gonna sit today too, because I can't.
And I just want to let y'all know again that I know that you know that I know that you know that I know.
That we all just knowing.
We all knowing that these, you know, this is what I want in a husband.
You better stick to your sister friends, girl.
We see you, okay? We see you. So this is Italian, an Italian red. It's called Cantina Zaccazzini. And it's neither dry or sweet. It's like right in the middle, and it's good with like lamb or beef.
I didn't know you was a sommelier.
Now that, you know, I'm really getting into my auntie years, I just figured.
We's uncorked over here.
Where Yo Gotti music bumping out. I love that movie, by the way. If y'all ain't seen Uncorked on Netflix, go watch it.
Okay. Choose some culture.
So, song of the week for our newest weekly segment of Put Me On, where we put you on to what we're listening to in the past week. What is your song of the week that you want to let the family in on?
Yes, everyone. I really want to come and talk to you about Miss Jasmine Salivine, Philadelphia native, born and raised. Just soulful singer. Yes, I'm talking about vocals. I'm talking full throat. I'm talking scales. I'm talking gravity. I'm talking all of that. The sis can sing. Yes, yes, she can. And she just put out a new P called Hotels.
Call what? Say it again.
Hotels.
Hotels.
It's for the hoes, for sure. but anyway, you know, it's not. Jasmine has really, really tapped into millennial heartbreak. And she is singing.
Don't forget.
Don't leave no pieces. Okay? Not a crumb. Take that. You know? And just, you know, sometimes, you know when you lost one. We all done lost one before. I lost a couple more to one. And that's all right. But I always came back. Hey. Can't ever keep a good one down. And then, yeah, Girl Like Me. She made a song for the girls like me.
Okay, so that's your song?
That's my song, Girl Like Me.
What about that song make you like?
Because, I really wanted to hold on to this good girl image all of my life. And now I'm just like, if I'm supposed to be a hoe, somebody let me know. Let me know, okay? Because I might pick it up.
Did she say you gonna turn me into a hoe? Like, how did she say that?
She said these hoes be winning. Why they be winning? There's no hope for a girl like me. So if I'm supposed to turn over a new leaf, all right? And she did say you gonna make a hoe out of me. She did say that.
Yes, but shout out to the hoes, cause keep winning, okay?
Period.
Keep winning. But there should be a room for all of the ways that we want to show up in the world.
I think wholeness is a spectrum, so.
Wholeness is a spectrum.
You know?
And I have been in various places on that spectrum.
You just move around.
It's fluid. Yeah. Wholeness is fluid. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first. Wholeness is fluid.
Okay.
Or at least it's been fluid for me.
Okay.
So that's your song. I was gonna pick I think it's called On It with Ari Lennox, and from that same album, because she had me at spit on it, and I'm just gonna leave it at that, fam. If y'all want to listen to it, you can go listen to it. It's on Jasmine's new EP Hotels, and it's with Ari Lennox, and it's called On It. And the way that they're just talking that talk while singing so beautifully, it was just something to behold for me. But I didn't choose that. I chose PJ, I'm For Real, featuring Loop. And PJ's from North Carolina, so is Loop. And I think that she's like a dope artist that is very much so underrated. Like, people don't know her very much. But her songs are like positive but not corny. And I think that they have like, she's like a rapper singer type, and it just, I don't know, it touched my little Southern heart, because it was just this like from North Carolina that's just talking about things that kind of I can resonate with, and she's like very relatable. You know, I am not Cardi B, and while I have popped this thing a couple of times, I ain't really popped the thing like that. You know what I'm saying? So like when Cardi be talking her noise, or Megan, you know what I'm saying? I ain't never had the knees of Megan, and I ain't never really, you know, did hot girl shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I was kind of a lukewarm girl. I don't know if I was a hot girl. You know what I'm saying?
Was you a city girl?
I was more like a town girl, you know?
Okay, city adjacent.
I was city adjacent.
You know? Okay.
At my highest peak, I wasn't really like city like that. But with PJ, you know, PJ is just more my rhythm. She's less rapidy rap than Rhapsody.
Rapidy rap.
You know.
Okay. Continue. Proceed.
I say that in the most positive way. I love Rhapsody. She has great songs, great albums, but it's very rapidy rap. And I think that PJ is more melodic, more cool. Because, you know, I love me a good, very, very chilled vibe. And so I think that PJ's vibe is more fitting for me. So she has this song called I'm For Real. Yeah, I should check it out. I think it's pretty cool.
I'm going to check it out.
All right. What's your Black-owned vibe today?
My cousin, her name is Shantese Clark.
It's by Shantese Clark, and it's called Aubrey's Perfect Party Dress.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be found on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And what age group is the book for?
I think it's for like 8 to 10 or 6 to 10, you know, that age range.
Okay, so 6 to 10 years old. So it's a children's book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So for my Black-owned buy, I'm going to go with The Nile List. And The Nile List is a website and it's an app where you can just find all the Black-owned things, like all Black-owned brands from everything from like nail polish and candles to like, what is something that I saw on there? Like they literally have everything that you could possibly like think, wine, like everything that you could possibly think of that you need. Like there's a Black owned brand representing that. And it was created by Khadija Robinson, is a friend of mine or a person I know from the legal scene, who is a Spelman alum and a Harvard Law graduate. And she's just really, really dope. And I love to see people in general, but especially like women and women of color who are attorneys, who are also using their creativity outside of this space. Nile List is something that I would definitely tell the fam to go check out. I really think it's really cool. It's a really cool depository because you know we buying Black owned. Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, I wanted to talk about Black women in labor because I've really been kind of thinking this through because of women like Stacey Abrams and Latasha Brown and then say UFO and all of the other women who were involved in Georgia and making sure that Georgia turned blue. Let me say that again, because I like how that sound. As a Southerner myself, who's often disappointed because, you know, like I think something like 54% of like the Black Americans who live in this country live in the South, and every time election period is, I get so disappointed because I'm like, this is not like a proper representation of who lives in those places. And it's not that I think that I'm disappointed in us, because I know that voter suppression is real and like there are obstacles and things in place to kind of carve out our voice. So it's not that I'm disappointed in us, but I'm just disappointed in the fact of what is. But a show like of what happened in Georgia is very, makes me very hopeful for the rest of the South. I think if Georgia can do it, Mississippi can do it. If Mississippi can do it, Louisiana can do it. And if we get Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas, which is already trying to turn blue, I think that like we could do so much with regard to like progressing this country along. But anyhow, so I was thinking about those Black women who really showed up and made sure that like a son of a Jewish immigrant and a son of a sharecropper was able to be senators in Georgia, the first Black senator in Georgia. Shout out to Warnock. But I was thinking, because I was looking at these cabinet positions and things, these administration positions. And I was just waiting on Stacey's name, what they're gonna choose for her. And it really just made me think about Black women are expected to be the mules. We are expected to get things worker done. Bees. We are the worker bees. We're expected to do the work, but we are not rewarded with leadership titles, right? Because we are already leaders, right? So they can't take that away from us. So we're already half power because we're doing the work. But the leadership titles, we're not really given those. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear your thoughts on that.
I think that is just like so true. And I think like it's just been historically true. Like even like I think you and I have had conversations like looking even back at the civil rights movement, when you look at all of these unsung heroes, it was women and LGBTQ people who had to, even though they were doing all of this work and helping to mobilize communities and working with, you know, students to empower them on their campuses and, you know, organizing these drives and these walks and these sit-ins and really kind of doing the work, right? You know, there was still this atmosphere of like straight black men had to be the face of all of this in order for it to be proper. And I think that we still see like the suppression of women being in leadership positions to this day. And it's very unfortunate because we're still expected to be the rock, to be the strength, to be, you know, everything, and bear and grin and, you know, be okay with never receiving the reward and acknowledgement and accolade. And, you know, that's just the most tiring thing in the world. And sometimes I wonder if we think just because we champion black women for being strong, that that's thank you enough. Mm-hmm. And it's not, because you're championing and thanking people for pouring out and never receiving anything back in return. Mm-hmm. You're championing like, you know, a very, very unhealthy environment and you know, relationship dynamic and everything. And that's very much something I don't want to subscribe to anymore. Mm-hmm. I really like this whole like conversation now about black women normalizing luxury for themselves, normalizing self-care for themselves, normalizing
the word no.
Okay. Because it's not right. It's not right. And when we have so many amazing women who do the work because they care about the work, not about the money, not about the ego, not about any of these things. They do the work because they actually want to, you know, make a difference and make a change. And that's why we, from the, you know, continue to see black women putting everything on the line. Mm-hmm. But at some point, right, like when the reciprocity has to kick in.
At some point, you would think, right? You would think that. And I was just thinking, like, you know, we're talking from, like, the black woman's perspective. But, you know, I was just thinking across the lines, man. Like, when I think about Hispanic movements, right? Just the, what, like, Hispanic women, like, Latinx women are bearing the brunt. Generally, women across the board are carrying, like, a lot of the load. And we're not getting our fair share of the reward. Or just of the proper thank you for doing that. But then I was also thinking about as a queer person and just when we look to our movements and especially our movements of today, right? We look at something like Black Lives Matter. That movement is full of queer Black women. It started by like some queer Black women who are like putting our lives, our emotional stability, our financial stability on the line for our communities every day. And really like a situation where you love a people, a community, and you're not always receiving that love back, right? Yeah. And just thinking about like the labor of that. And so like not even getting a thank you, because we're expected to just be the invisible mules. So at mm-hmm. least like if I was just like a black woman, like I'm still just gonna get like a thank you in word and not in deed. But at least I don't have to be invisible. And I think of people like Bayard Rustin mm-hmm. and how people don't know who that is. And that is a shame. You know, mm-hmm. like you don't know who Bayard Rustin is, or I think of Audre Lorde and I don't think she gets her just due. You know, I think of James Baldwin to a degree. I don't think he got his just due until like posthumous, really. Like
Pauli Murray.
Huh? Pauli Murray, you know, I love. Shout out to Pauli's Room. Shout out to Pauli's Room, which is my clothing line, Pauli's Room. Okay. Shameless plug. But Pauli Murray, the fact that people don't know Pauli Murray, but they know Ruth Bader Ginsburg without no Pauli Murray. Like, I don't get that. Or not that I don't get it, but like that frustrates me about that, how we're like expected to do all this labor. And that brought me also to the point of talking about why we continue on doing that. One, we continue on doing it because we love our people.
Right.
And we want to see our people and ourselves survive because we are also part of the community. So
right.
there is some self-interest in that.
Right.
But also just how I think sometimes we do it because we hope that in doing the labor that we can work ourselves into value. And it's like, there is not enough work in the world for me to do for some people to make them see me as a human. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how many marches. It doesn't matter any of that. They'll never see me fully as myself.
And even more, that they'll see that desire and that attention, that desire and that want, and exploit it. That I know this person, right? That this is their end goal, that they feel that they have something to prove and I'm going to milk it. That even our sincerity can be exploited.
Mm-hmm.
Our genuine desire to be good and to be of service can be exploited. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do think we do just got to do right by ourselves and remove ourselves from toxic places and people when it's required.
That's real. I was just thinking also that, like, when we can't remove ourselves from the world entirely, and I think that so much of the world can be toxic to women and femmes. Because our world is situated on patriarchy. So, but I was just thinking about that. I was like, has there been a time in your life where you felt like you were doing a lot of the work and you were rewarded with a thank you, but you didn't get the proper reward that you thought you should have, like the leadership that you thought you should have gotten?
I think I am someone who volunteers my time and experience and skill set and expertise for free. for the sake of trying to make spaces better, trying to just, you know, give what I can and be a contributor. Mm-hmm. And for sure, right, you know, you get the thank you in words, but not in any other form of compensation or consideration. Always doing a lot of emotional labor, just, mm-hmm. you know, supporting people through things, whether I have the capacity or not. And so, yeah, I have just completely exhausted myself for the people that I care about, for to maintain the spaces that I am in.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a reality. And I think that you're right that, like, you know, you can't remove yourself from everything. Because what are you going to be on the island of one? But there is the need to practice boundary setting, and that's something that I am learning in 2021.
Yes, we are all learning that boundary setting in 2021. Because if 2020 taught us anything, it was that all this shit will continue to go on.
Okay.
This job will continue to go. It will all continue to go on with or without us. So we got to take care of ourselves. So just like in closing out, what is one thing that you would say to straight and, or not straight, to heterosexual and to queer women with regard to like mending relationships?
With each other?
Yeah.
I think I think just getting past all of the outside unnecessary noise and static, mm-hmm. and just getting through to just seeing if you can, if you connect with someone, you know what I mean? Like, on a vibrational level, like, it's hard for me to answer that question because I feel like I'm still struggling to wrap my head around the disconnect and why it may be. Mm-hmm. But I think we got to get to like a real human level, mm-hmm. Of love and respect and care and togetherness and belongingness. And I think once you can get to that point, and see and value people at that level, and then you begin to expand, hopefully you can expand in a much more thoughtful way. hopefully.
That's,
you know, people don't got the range, and that's true.
That's real. And just also accepting the fact that sometimes people don't have the range, and that some people ain't gonna change, or like it's just not, that's not going to be the relationship with some people, I think is also a reality. What would you say to Black women and queer folks and anyone in those groups who are like doing a lot of the labor and work, who's not, who's only being rewarded with verbal thank yous and not with leadership titles and all the other things that they deserve? What would you say to them?
To make sure that whatever you're doing, make sure you're building yourself up, you know? That if you're saying yes to things, make it something that's yes because you're doing it in an area that you haven't done it before, and this would be a good skill for you to build. So that all of the work and experience that you are gaining is transferable for when you're ready to make that transition. And just take care of yourselves. Like, you can't pour from an empty well. Imagine literally being a well. You're pouring all of your water outside. You're watering all of the plants and everything like that. And like he said, it's going to go on. The sun's going to come out. Everything's going to be flourishing, and you're going to be dried up.
Right. We're not dried up for 2021, okay?
Sustainability. Sustainability.
Sustainability. Okay, we're sustaining ourselves for 2021. So I hear and I receive that word on today, Pastor. Pastor Tracy, I hear and I receive that word. And thank you so much for joining me on this podcast session today. I really just wanted people to see just how funny and hilarious you are and how brilliant you are. And I really am super appreciative of all the dope people that I have in my life. And you are definitely on that high list of people who I think are absolutely dope and fly. And I don't know, you've never seen as much of a thorough, fine, bright woman as my good sis Tracy. I'm just saying. So also, you know, are you single Tracy?
Yes, but don't try to mangle if you ain't got a Pringle. I'm sorry.
Jasmine said that she'll pay rent if it's good. That's what she said.
And we don't agree. I love her. That's my silly sis, but I think she's from another neighborhood. I think she's from somewhere else. She might, I don't know. No. She might be from the Northeast. I don't know. That's very Northeast.
I'm done. I feel like she would find that very disrespectful that you said she might be from the Northeast.
I'm sorry, Jazz, because I that's not a North Philly spirit. I don't know.
Well, again, thank you for this conversation today. Where can people find you on the gram and on social media?
On the gram, you can find me at Dulce de Lache. Yes, that's DULCE.DE.LACHE. Just on my gram. Y'all need to try to follow my Facebook app. I can follow me on the gram.
Follow her on the gram because my sis be serving face. Okay. Serving face, okay? And her real face. That's her face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, bitch. Just her face. But you can find me again at Gay After 30, number 30. So that's GayAfterThirty30 on Instagram. You can also find me on YouTube at Gay After 30. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Anchor. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on all the major streaming platforms. So follow Gay After 30, GayAfterThirty, and you can follow my personal at majorkey.alert. That's MajorKee.alert. Thank you again for listening. We appreciate you. Take care of yourself.